Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Welcome to Hermaphobia number 31. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark.
We've been gone for 2 whole years to the day. Well, actually, we didn't go away. We became goodbaduglyfilms.com.
And for a little while.
For about a year.
Yeah, well, actually, a little over a year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that kind of petered out. And we've been missing podcasting, so we thought we'd return back to our roots, back to Hermaphobia.
Yeah, dust off the microphones and the mixer.
Yeah, and have some fun with it. Make it a little less of a chore, because it was becoming quite a chore. But yeah, putting it together was quite time consuming in the end. So
yeah,
so we're gonna keep things pretty raw. It's gonna be unedited so that we can get this up as quick as we're done with it.
And yeah, so you might hear stuff like me stuttering or me saying I'm picking my nose.
But on the upside, you're wearing pants, so that's a big up.
Yeah, I put them on especially for you.
thank you. It's appreciated. And if you hear a big whining, creaking kind of noise, it's because I'm sitting in my busted up old chair and it tends to be a little loud. So
yeah, or that's just Reznor, the dog, who's also whiny and creaky.
And that's while he's sleeping. You should see him twitching and kicking here. It's kind of funny. But anyhow.
You start calling him Patch.
I know, right? Crazy. All right. Well, so Mark, you know how I love to be pissed off about things.
Yes.
And the latest meme in the media is fucking bullying, and it won't go away. I was watching this thing on Charlie Sheen the other day, because it entertains me.
Oh, yes. It's that train wreck that is just right up your alley.
Yes, but let's not go into that. But there was a preview for like one of their upcoming episodes where they had, you know, kids in a room and, you know, they had planted bullies and they were watching as the kids sided towards the bullies. And I am so sick of this fucking meme. Like, it's really, really starting to irritate me. Mm-hmm. Yes, bullying is a problem. It has always been a problem. You know, I don't want to minimize the things that have happened, you know, kids killing themselves because of it and stuff like that. It's terrible. But read Lord of the Flies. This is not a new phenomenon.
Oh, no. No, not in the least.
This is human nature. It is something that you're going to go through no matter what. There's no buffers in the world that is going to protect you from somebody picking on you. It's life.
Yeah, both of us have experienced it.
Everybody has.
A lot.
It is the food chain. There's always somebody making somebody else's life miserable. But it's the way of the world. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way. You know.
And for me, it was my friends.
They weren't your friends then, Mark. Gosh. Oh, I'm talking about, you know, the guys that made you, you know, cross the street to avoid any kind of direct contact with, you know, people that would actually get in your grill and give you a hard time. I mean, I went through a little bit of it, but I didn't go through mm-hmm. a lot of it.
Well, I didn't get a lot of the violent stuff because I was always like head and shoulders above everybody else height wise and easily twice as wide. So,
but the thing is, okay, if say your nephew or your niece or somebody came to you, Uncle Mark, you know, I'm being bullied at school, what would your advice to them be?
Suck it up, princess.
Exactly. Guess what? You're not fucking special. Nobody's fucking special. You know, do you think fucking Bill Gates was getting laid in high school? No, he was getting the shit kicked out of him. Steve Jobs was being turned upside down inside of a fucking locker. They didn't get special until they got fucking rich and famous. Yeah. You know, it's quit taking yourself so fucking seriously. And I don't mean to re-victimize anybody, but, you know, just quit taking yourself so fucking seriously. If you can make fun of yourself before everybody else gets a chance to, mm-hmm. you win. Like, yeah. You are so far ahead of the game that you're untouchable at that point.
It took me years to get to that point, too. Like, I spent grade 9 through grade 12 in my first high school
yeah.
completely alone. Because, yeah.
I can see that.
Ow! See? And that's what I said about my friends. But no, like my friends growing up until high school, yeah, they were quite adversarial at times, kind of like we are. But
well, we give ourselves a hard time, but it's never mean. Like
no, it was mean from them. Yeah. But at high school, it was just like I became a ghost.
Yeah.
Until I moved to a different high school, and I reinvented myself. Yeah. And yeah.
But that's the thing, good. You know. Like, I mean, the kids are getting picked on now. They've got such a leg up than when we were growing up because they've got the internet. You can get on the internet and find people that have your same interests in common. And you can, you know, it might be a virtual community that you become a part of, but it'll serve until you move on in life. This whole, it gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It got better for Obama. It got better for Clinton. It got better for fucking Dan Savage, who started the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
No, you know what? It doesn't get better. It just gets different. Because when you get out in the workforce, you're going to have some boss or some asshole that's been there longer than you that's going to fucking lord it over you. Whatever. I mean, there's always going to be somebody making your life miserable.
And then you get married, and then it's really miserable.
But the thing is, I mean, you find the people that you have stuff in common with, the people that you connect with.
And like when I was younger, like you said, I didn't have the internet. There was no one there with my interests that I knew of because I couldn't find them.
Yeah,
there was probably lots of my own high school, but these days, the geeks and the nerds aren't. I don't think as ostracized as they were back in our day, because the jocks and all that, they might need our help with their computer stuff.
And I know.
Really?
I'm not on board with that, no.
Then again, it has been about 100 years since you've been in school.
No. Yeah, well, at least we got past hieroglyphics like what you learned in school. Anyhow,
don't need nothing but an abacus.
No, I mean I mean go back to fucking Lord of the Flies. Everything breaks into cliques. Everybody, you know, you're going to have everybody, you're going to find your own social corner, and you may not find that in high school. You may not find that until you get into college. You might not find that until you get into the workforce, but in the meantime, fucking read or learn how to do script or excuse me.
And that's not being cut out.
No.
Somebody's had a mommy drink.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, hone your interest, you know, be ready for when you do find that group that you fit in with. And if you're the gay kid and you're in an environment where that isn't really hospitable, then you compromise and you blend in until you're in some place that it's safe for you to be who you are. There's this sense of entitlement anymore that people have, or that people, not people, kids have. And I hate to generalize that way, but you do, you see it so often where, you know, I was listening to this interview the other day about this kid who started a new job, and he was just fucking pissed that the boss was telling him what to do and expecting him to be there on time. And it's like, what fucking world are you from? That is what having a job is. But they've been so cushioned and so isolated and told
everybody gets a ribbon
and told you're special too, but you're not. Not everybody's fucking special. Okay. Fucking just look at the world around you. There is a hierarchy, and guess what? Not everybody's on the top.
Well, I don't know. After reading a bunch of like comments from children or like teenagers, I'm thinking that they might be special.
Oh, yeah, in the other way. I think you might be right there. But anyhow, I just wanted to get that off my chest because this whole bullying thing is really bugging my ass. And I see people on Facebook, you know, talking about it all the time and everything. And it's like, really? Because you have this deluded memory of what it was like to go through it. And
let's wear a pink shirt today.
Yeah, because like, that's going to change everything. No, it's not. you know, you're still gonna have to avoid the fucking guy that's looking to beat the shit out of you.
I'm still gonna laugh at you.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, sometimes times are tough, and you just gotta fucking get through them. And if you think that fucking opening your wrist is the fucking way out, well, it's called survival of the fittest. And guess what? You didn't win.
Yeah.
Anyhow, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I have moved beyond the whole bullying stage.
Yeah.
I think even at work, like I know that our higher ups sometimes try to push us around, but it's like I do my job good.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Just be the best person that you can be and stand your ground. If you're in the right, then it you're in the right. There's no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no denying it, you know?
Yeah.
No matter how powerful or how much control somebody else has over you, right is right in the end. And there are certain rules and laws and stuff like that that everybody has to follow. So when people start crossing that line, then that's when the power shifts to you. But anyhow, so earlier today, Amazon came to the door.
Yes.
And inside was my new Blu-ray of Thelma and Louise. And I proposed to you that Thelma and Louise is the greatest film made by Ridley Scott, to which you said, top five.
I was joking, but it's easily top two or three.
Again, okay. I know that I think anybody that's ever listened to any of our programs knows that you are in love with the Blade Runner.
Yes. Because there was this time when I was...
Oh, God, no. Spare us all. Spare us all the story.
I was...
Please see episode 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to hear this story. But no, I mean, Blade Runner is one of your favorite films. If not your favorite, is it your favorite film?
It is my top two.
Yeah.
It's with it, and it depends on the day that you got me to. It's Blade Runner and John Carpenter's The Thing.
Okay. But I propose that Thelma and Louise is now, and I love Blade Runner. Don't get me wrong. You know that I love the Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Thelma and Louise is a better film.
I have not seen it for a very long time, but I rather enjoyed it. And I was actually shocked to find out that it was a Ridley Scott movie.
And I think that's why it's a better film. I mean, he's so out of his element in that movie. I mean, all of his previous films were very urban. They all took place in the city, be it a futuristic city or, you know, a Japanese city like Black Rain or, you know, it was always part of the urban culture that his films lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Women were always secondary characters in his film, very underdeveloped. Friendships really didn't enter into his
pastiche.
Yes, you know his relationships in his films tended to be more adversarial up to that point, with possibly the exception of Someone to Watch Over Me, which was kind of a love story. And he was sort of out of his element in that film. And it really kind of shows because that film's kind of a big, hot mess.
Mm-hmm. I know how much you like Thelma and Louise.
But
I mean, love it. Sorry, I should love it.
You know, I do. I mean, I really do. Because it's about friendship. And I think friendship is one of the most important things that anybody can have. And that he took that material and just nailed it. Like, mm-hmm. fucking nailed it. I mean... There's no way that on a human level you can relate to Blade Runner. Blade Runner is a very, it's an out of reach storyline. There's, you know what I mean? There, you can fantasize about living in the Blade Runner world, but it's not a realistic.
But there are still the same problems there too. Like there's the love and the antagonism and everything. It's all
in love with a robot.
But then again, he's supposed to be one as well.
Maybe.
And it isn't really a robot. Maybe. It's an artificial humanoid. But
a robot.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's very, very tricky. But, yeah, I would still say top three for Thelma and Louise.
I mean the Blade, the themes, you know, the themes that he's exploring in Blade Runner. I mean, you know, they're, you know, they go back to Frankenstein, man creating life and yada yada yada, yeah, all that sort of stuff. And it you know, it's very philosophical and thoughtful and stuff like that. But Thelma and Louise is just such an unlikely action film, and the fact that that what propels it is this friendship. Like, you know, this, you know, everybody has that friend that you would take a bullet for, that you would go on the run with, that, you know.
Well, there was a little bit of a time that I wouldn't, but yes, I've had several friends in my life that, yeah, I would kill for them.
Yeah.
And please let me kill
for them. And I think that's why Thelma and Louise is a better film, just because it's far more relatable.
Yeah, and I guess it doesn't even really have to create its own world, because it's already in the real world.
It is in the here and now. It is very, I'm not going to say it's a realistic film, but it has a lot more elements of realism in it.
Yeah. Let's see, like for my top two Ridley Scotts, be Blade Runner and then Alien.
Fucking love Alien. See? Oh, you're hurting me there. I didn't even, for some reason, I don't know. Oh. Okay, next topic. Oh man.
See, because that is an almost perfect movie itself. Same with Blade Runner. It's almost perfect. And Thelma and Louise. These are masterworks from a master. Some of his other stuff is kind of like he was phoning it in. Like,
oh, I fucking hate you because I didn't even think of Alien. And now I'm like, ooh, Thelma and Louise and Alien. It's like, I'm still going to probably.
Yes.
God.
Score one for Mark.
Bastard. Oh. Okay, next topic.
Then I'll throw G.I. Jane into the mix.
No.
But see, I'm still going to go back into Ridley Scott here. Like Blade Runner and Alien, and John Carpenter's The Thing. Those are my trifecta. Like that's my top three films.
Yeah,
and yeah, and he's done two of them. But I'm looking on his resume here, like Matchstick Men. That was a beautiful film.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again,
I wouldn't put it up on the level of, say, Thelma and Louise or...
The thing is, this is where I'm going to go with Thelma and Louise versus Alien even as well, is that Ridley Scott didn't let his style get in the way of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where he does, you know, even in Alien, you got the, I don't know why, but, you know, you got the Venetian blind thing happening and the smoke and, you know, the very Ridley Scott elements.
Mm-hmm.
They're absent in Thelma and Louise. They're just not there. So he really kind of gets out of his own way in Thelma and Louise. And I think that is the ultimate sign of maturity of filmmakers, when you can really go out on a limb and do something completely different.
Yes, and I will say, yes, Thelma and Louise is completely different. And I wouldn't mind rewatching it.
Yeah. Wouldn't you, but this is kind of getting off topic from the Thelma and Louise thing, but wouldn't you say that he's really kind of shit the bed since the 2000s?
Since the 2000s? So like...
From like Gladiator on?
See, I liked Gladiator, though.
See, I think Gladiator is, it's an okay movie, but it's not a great film by any stretch of the
imagination. I think what I like about Gladiator the most is the actors that are in it.
But a performance doesn't a great movie make.
No, see, but Spartacus, Blood and Sand, and the new one, Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. No, I'm just relating Gladiator stuff. Those are much better made than Gladiator itself, but I still like the genre, because who doesn't like half naked men sweaty?
And please bear in mind that Mark is the heterosexual part of this whole homophobic experiment here.
Yeah.
How scary is that?
But yeah, Robin Hood, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't up to snuff, I don't think.
Even Kingdom of Heaven, which everybody went on and on and on about.
And I know you went on and on and on about it, and then you bought like 3 different versions of it.
Before I watched it, then I watched it and I fell asleep in it. It's boring as hell.
I enjoyed it, but yes, it was a little bit boring.
And here's what I think his big problem is right now, too, is that he doesn't release the film that he intends to make. He makes a cut that is put into theaters, but he's always got that director's cut waiting on the side. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is going to be a really great segue into that article that we're going to talk about. But he's making films for the studio first and then himself after.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he has 2 visions.
It's like the single versus the album kind of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's putting the single out into the theaters and the album come out on home video. So he's making,
or the remix.
He's essentially making films for home video. He's not making films for theaters anymore, which is.
What do you think of American Gangster?
I liked it, but it's not a great film.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I can't remember anything about it.
The thing is, a bad Ridley Scott film is usually better than a good film by most directors.
Yes.
And let's leave that at that. And we'll move on to that article that I mentioned. It was an article that appeared in GQ magazine called The Day the Movies Died. To basically distill it, the author makes the argument that, did I say the Arthur?
The author
of the article.
His name is Mark Harris, by the way.
Yes, he makes the argument fundamentally that marketing has killed film. That that basically films are made from a marketing standpoint now, and
of where the most money is going to come from.
Yeah, that basically a blockbuster is reverse engineered. That you know they have the vision of what the great returns and elements are going to be, and then they make the film backward from there.
Yeah.
Which is valid. I think it's very valid.
Instead of creating it from art.
Yeah. First. Starting with a good script, bringing on a good director, then hiring a good cast and interpreting the film that way.
Mm-hmm.
Instead they're, they're looking at how they can sell the film and any other products tangentially involved with the film, be it action figures, toys, and we've talked about that before on the goodbaduglyfilms.com.
You don't have to add the .com because you didn't actually speak to it on the .com, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And I thought it was a great article. He talked at length about Batman dude.
Nolan.
Christopher Nolan, that, Inception being the huge hit that it was last year,
that it kind of surprised everybody that it was a hit.
Well, it was, yeah, because it was at first dismissed as a vanity project for Nolan because of the success of The Dark Knight, that Warner allowed him to make this film. And then as buzz started generating, they just basically made more and more excuses for the film being good rather than going, fuck, it's a good film. Like, yeah. Why wasn't it,
it's like opening weekend. Oh, okay. It did that well because all the Nolan fanboys came.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
And then it kept on going and going and.
Yeah. And they just basically ran out of excuses other than the fact that it was a well-made film that started with a good, strong story and was engaging. And it's so disheartening anymore to see films that. What was the one that there's that one paragraph where he's talking about how the films, there's going to be the second prequel to the sequel of the da-da-da-da-da. It's crazy. And when you put it out like that, like when you paint it that way, you sit there and you go, Hollywood is completely freaking bankrupt.
Like they have no more original stories.
There's not. And the good stuff, the original stories are happening on cable television.
Yeah, and they are mining earlier. I mean, well, not earlier, but sooner for new ideas, like rebooting. What was the latest reboot that they were just doing?
I can't remember.
Oh shit! I just read.
Remember when I went into your office the other day and I was like, "They're fucking remaking Soap Dish." Soap Dish. This was a moderately successful comedy in the 90s. I mean, we're talking like freaking 20 years ago. I mean, it's not that old. And everybody in that cast is still around.
And still working.
Robert Downey Jr., Sally Field, Elizabeth Shue, Whoopi Goldberg, Terry Hatcher. Like, these aren't names that have faded into obscurity.
Especially Robert Downey Jr.
Especially.
His star is still on the rise.
Yeah, like, it's insane. Like, why are you remaking Soap Dish of all the fucking movies in the world to remake? Like, you know, like, I mean, it wasn't a great film, but who did Transformers?
Michael Bay.
When he did The Island, he remade that from source material that was not very well executed to begin with.
The Clonus horror.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a horrible movie.
But there was a genesis of a good idea there.
Yes,
and he expanded upon it. I mean, he still kind of shit on it. You know, he kind of.
But he also gave it some like really cool effects.
Yeah, well, and
which is a Maya Michael Bay.
He expanded on that idea and he made a decent film. But being Michael Bay, he went too far.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that's the kind of thing, like, that's where they should be setting their eyes on. Like, don't, I mean, and okay, maybe I'm sort of arguing with myself here with the whole Soap Dish thing, but the Clonus experiment,
horror.
I mean, you can ask 30 people about it and they'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And Soap Dish will be like, oh, that Whoopi Goldberg movie, that was funny. Like, they'll still know what it is.
Yeah. Maybe they should go a little bit further back instead of doing the less than 20 year thing that they're doing right now. Leave it at like 30 to 40 years. Like, there are a lot of really good movies, say, like from the 50s and 60s that nobody's going to watch right now because they're like in black and white or with actors that nobody knows anymore.
Well, and the thing is, they're not surefire either. I mean, like, okay, well, David Fincher is going to be remaking The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which did great internationally. But I mean, that's coming on the heels of Let Me In, which was a remake of Let the Right One In, which was a really successful international film, but it tanked. The remake tanked.
I still haven't seen it.
It's not because it's a bad movie, because it is a good movie. But I think anybody that was interested to begin with saw the original and was like, well, I don't really need to see the remake. I just saw.
Yeah. And that's
saw this movie.
That's like four funerals.
Yeah.
Too. It's like, it was remade in America, 3 years after the UK version?
Yeah.
It's like, dudes, it's like we live in a much smaller world now than we used to.
Very much so.
We have access to foreign movies.
Yep.
And like remaking a UK movie, like they're already speaking English.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, and the thing too, I mean, like they're road mapping, like the Avengers, right? Like, you know, they've done the Hulk movie. They've done, now we're getting Captain America and Thor this year. We've already had the Iron Man films.
Incredible.
You know, and it's all spearheading to this Avengers film. Well, what happens when the superhero movies, what happens if the superhero movie fad fades before they get to the Avengers?
And just speaking of the Avengers movie, they are making stars out of some of these actors and their budget is going to be massive. Like
stars like Sam Worthington?
No, just I'm saying they're going to be commanding much larger salaries. Like Robert Downey Jr.
I can't see Robert Downey Jr. coming into the Avengers, an ensemble piece. You know what I mean? Like, I just, they wouldn't be able to afford him.
Maybe they might use War Machine instead.
It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I believe that you're right, that they are kind of, they're pricing themselves out of the game a little bit.
Yeah. And like, they got a fairly fairly unknown guy to play Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, it was, what was it, Kirk's dad in the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, like relatively unknown, fairly now, cheap.
Is that the one that Natalie Portman's in?
Thor? Yes, I believe she is.
Like, what the fuck is she doing in Thor?
Like, I don't know. Like, hey, she's working. She's having a baby. She's going to be taking some time off.
I know, but she just won herself a fucking Academy Award. Now she's going to be in the bottom rung movie of the Avengers lead-in. Like, come on.
Who knows? It might be a fantastic movie because who is directing it?
Kenneth Branagh. But, okay, if this was Much Ado About Thor... then I would concur, but Kenneth Branagh isn't really, I mean, he's made one non-Shakespeare film, being Dead Again, which was a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw it.
But I'm interested in it because I used to read Thor when I was a kid, so yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, that's for sure. But we'll put a link on for this article, the day the movie died. It's a great article. I was really impressed.
Yeah, and he makes note, like what Alan said earlier about the next year's, or like.
Oh, do you have the?
Yeah.
Can you read that for us?
Just trying to find the actual about Stretch Armstrong becoming osteoporosis Armstrong.
Yeah.
Okay. With that in mind, this is a direct quote from the article. With that in mind, let's look ahead to what's on the menu for this year. 4 adaptations of comic books, 1 prequel to an adaptation of a comic book, 1 sequel to a movie based on a toy, 1 sequel to a sequel to a sequel to a movie based on an amusement park ride,
mm-hmm.
1 prequel to a remake, 2 sequels to cartoons, 1 sequel to a comedy, an adaptation of a children's book, an adaptation of a Saturday morning cartoon, 1 sequel with a 4 in the title, 2 sequels with a 5 in the title, 1 sequel that, if it were inclined to use numbers, would have a 7.5 in the title.
Harry Pooper. See, I mean, like, when it's presented that way, the absurdity is fucking clear. Like, it saddens me because I love movies. Like, I love good movies. We just talked about Ridley Scott's, you know, backlog, fucking Alien and Blade Runner and Thelma and Louise, and those were great fucking movies, and not a one of them was a sequel or a remake or
it was the first in the series of Alien. Yeah,
Alien was an original script by Dan Banyan. Thelma and Louise was an original script by Kelly Corey, and Blade Runner was based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yep.
There you go. Like, there, if you're going to go mining, go find the fresh talent. So what were the actual titles of that diatribe of...
Okay, the 4 comic book ones and all that. Okay. Captain America, Cowboys and Aliens, Green Lantern, and Thor. Then there was X-Men First Class, Transformers 3, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, Rise of the Apes.
Part 4,
maybe?
I think 3, 4.
I don't know. Yeah. Rise of the Apes, Cars 2, Kung Fu Panda 2, The Hangover Part 2, Winnie the Pooh, the Smurfs in 3D, Spy Kids 4, Fast 5, no longer Fast and the Furious, just Fast 5, Final Destination 5, and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
And I said before, too, Puss in Boots is coming out, which is like a spin-off.
Of a sequel.
Yeah. because the Puss in Boots character, he came in the second film, didn't he?
Or did he come in the first one?
I think it was just Donkey in the first one. Puss in Boots came in the third one.
In the second?
Second one.
Yeah.
It's
I still kill myself laughing. I said, it's not mine. I'm holding it for a friend.
Well, the thing is, I mean, like, it's like the movies are becoming serialized the way that TV series are.
Yeah.
And why would you plop down $15 each time you're going to watch a TV show? You wouldn't.
Yeah, and considering that some of the cable networks' TV shows are like movie quality writing, acting, and everything.
Look at what what was the last zombie film you saw that was on par with The Walking Dead?
See, I really like Dawn of the Dead. But yeah, it's like The Walking Dead grabbed me by the throat from the very first moment I watched it.
They started eating the horse. That was just wrong.
Oh, man. It was. It's a fucking brilliant show.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I have subsequently gone back and I've read all of the comics for The Walking Dead as well. And
but, I mean, put True Blood up against Twilight. I mean, how many fucking Twilight movies are there? And we're getting 12 episodes a year of True Blood, which are infinitely better.
Oh yeah. So 12 episodes, say back to back, that'd be like six hours, six movies.
Yeah
because no, yeah, because it's like, what, 40
6 hours? It's 12 I don't know hours.
Yeah, it could be like 42 minutes per episode, right?
Yeah,
plus commercials. So yeah, well, no, actually no, because it's on Showtime, isn't it? So it's even
HBO.
HBO, so it's even longer than 42 minutes.
Oh, no, it's a full hour, yeah.
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 Look at Dexter.
Oh, Dexter's amazing.
Yeah, like just the shows that we're getting on TV right now are just so
Breaking Bad.
Amazing.
Weeds.
Weeds is my favorite. Weeds is awesome.
And Weeds is one of those shows, too, that, I mean, like the last season, watching it week to week, I thought it was weak.
Yeah.
I thought that this was one of the worst seasons of Weeds, but then...
See, I didn't watch them week to week. I know. I saved them all.
Well, I just got it on Blu-ray, and I watched them all back to back, and it's like, they flow, like, they...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was, yeah, like, I got more humor out of them. I got more engaged with them the second time around and everything else. And that's because of the writing. The writing is so good, and it's meant to be... It's meant to have a momentum, and
some awesome music.
Weeds has always been the fastest 30 minutes on TV. I don't care what anybody says. It's just, it's so dense.
It's almost like a British half hour comedy.
Yeah.
Like Fawlty Towers. Like, I always thought that there were
quite as broad, but
no, I'm just saying like Fawlty Towers. I thought that there were like 30, 40, 50 episodes of that. There's like 13.
I know.
Because each half hour is so densely packed with everything.
Yeah.
And that's like Weeds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except it's more of a drama comedy.
Preaching to the choir.
Man, it is. I am so glad you actually got me on that bandwagon. And I was able to watch, three or four seasons in a row?
Yeah.
And, I
have to get you on Big Love next.
Actually, I because Big Love series finale is coming in at the end of this month, so I'll be able to watch four seasons,
five
seasons.
Yeah,
I'll be good. Also, I haven't watched minute one of Breaking Bad yet.
Oh, it's a good show,
and I've heard it's fantastic. Yeah,
no, it is. It is really good. But speaking of movies, since we were last here 2 years ago, Canada did not have Netflix. We were a sad, lonely nation without Netflix. And now we have Netflix.
We totally do.
And so this is going to be our little something new to add to the show.
We have two different Netflix accounts in the house.
I mean, our house is ridiculous. And it just, let's not even get into our... Anywho, okay, so let's we've got, you know, this great service now that is, you know, pumping movies to us, old movies, new movies. It's so hard to find something on Netflix because it's almost kind of overwhelming how much stuff is there.
Oh yeah, like it's like,
and it's not really presented in a way that it lends itself to easy discovery, I find, anyhow.
Well, even though you as you rate the movies and all that, it does give you suggestions, but for the most part, I've seen a lot of their suggestions already, but it's been so long that I haven't rated them. Just this past week or two, they have put on a fuck ton of new movies.
I've noticed a bunch of Paramount and Fox stuff that just kind of appeared overnight. It's like,
Oh yeah.
But maybe we can each give a, maybe each week we can give a recommendation of something that's on Netflix that maybe is overlooked, that, you know, maybe people aren't, it's not rated at the top of it's not going to show up on the top of their suggestion lists, shall we say. Okay. So what have you got for us this week, Mark?
Mine is actually a TV series. It is the...
That's not a movie.
I know, but it's still on Netflix. It's a Netflix suggestion by Mark. Firefly, the complete series.
Oh, God.
I just busted out my DVDs of Firefly and also the movie Serenity. Just like what, last week? 2 weeks ago. And I just rewatched the entire thing. And then I see it here on Netflix. And it's like, this is fantastic. This is such a good show. I love it.
Yeah.
And I cannot recommend it enough. I know it's not for everybody.
It's Joss Whedon. And there's a lot of Joss Whedon fans out there. You know, Buffy and Angel and... Buffy and Angel. Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Which is actually on Netflix too, I saw.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is directly beside Firefly.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, there are a lot of brown coats out there.
Yeah.
Which is the term for Firefly fans.
And there's the whole the whole Nathan Fillion thing right now, where if he had, what did he say, if I had $13 million, I'd buy
$300 million. Yeah. If he won the, and then somebody set up a website for donations and shit like that, but he's already gone on record saying, no, I don't, it's a fantasy. It's like, it's a fantasy of mine. It's not, I don't want your donations.
Yeah.
Give the money somewhere else.
And yeah, you don't tempt crazed fans like that.
I know. especially the brown coats, because they're organized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they could almost do a convention just around Firefly, like they do with Star Trek and Stargate and things like that. Like, is there are enough fans for it?
Yeah. Very cool. If I were going to pick a TV series, I would have went to Better Off Ted, but
oh, yeah, cuz it, not enough people watch that. That is a crime.
Yeah.
Because that was a wonderful, wonderful show.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Maybe we'll talk about it on another episode. Mm-hmm. But my pick this time around is going to be Costa Gavras's 1988 film Betrayed with Deborah Winger and Tom Berenger, where Deborah Winger plays an FBI agent who infiltrates a group of white supremacists that are suspected in the murder of a New York talk show host, radio host. And she ends up getting a little bit too close to her target. It's a great film. Like, just it makes you look at these guys as people first kind of thing. And it starts clouding her judgment on,
and it blurs the line a little bit,
you know. Yeah. It's a great film. Deborah Winger, I mean, come on, is Deborah Winger, she's probably one of the greatest actresses of the 80s, you know, on par with you know, somebody like Meryl Streep and Tom Berenger. This was before he kind of got all kind of wingy and did shit like Sniper and
yeah, I like Sniper.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, but let's face it.
But then again, I only paid a dollar to go see it. I had a dollar to see the cinema. Oh, no, this might live, when I lived in Edmonton, they had so many cheap theaters there, like second run theaters.
Yeah.
I could go there with like $5, spend all day, and just watch like dollar movies all day long.
Yeah, no, it, Betrayed. Check it out on Netflix. It's a great film. You can. There's a lot worse ways you can waste 2 hours. So
that's awesome.
And let's finish things out on a happy note. Our old segment that we used to love doing so much.
Earworms. Our
earworms. Yes. Yes. Those little songs. Those insidious little songs that get stuck in your head and you just can't get them out. What's been playing in the iPod in your head all week?
Well, I don't have an iPod. I have an Android in my head. So. But Pat Benatar's version of Wuthering Heights.
Classic Kate Bush song.
Could you leave me when I needed to possess you? hated you, I loved you too.
I know it's probably because I stopped it. Like, it was playing when I was going to work, when I arrived at work, and I stopped it then, and then it stuck in my head all night because of that, and then it hasn't gotten out.
Now, would you say Pat Benatar's version is better than Kate Bush's?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I like it better.
Why?
I don't know. There's something about it. I like it better than the Kate Bush version.
Guitar solos. It's a little bit more anthem-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Pat Benatar is just, she's such a solid vocalist. Man.
And Kate Bush, even though I love Kate Bush.
Oh, so do I.
Her version is a little bit more ethereal, and it's
very high pitched. Very.
Yeah. dogs and other stuff like that start like wandering around going, oh.
It's a great song, but I mean, yeah, her voice, I don't know. I'm sure that she had, she had a clear vision of why she chose to do the song the way that she did, but.
And then, just today, I think you were probably because, the other day you were listening to some Annie Lennox.
I was watching a Eurythmics concert.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why, Talking to an Angel.
Oh, There Must Be an Angel Playing with My Heart.
That's it. That's the one that has been.
He tried singing it to me earlier, and it was like, would I lie to you? Walking on broken. Mark can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm here to tell you.
When I'm in my car, I am awesome.
I am a rock star.
I totally am.
He's a warlock with Adonis tiger blood. Oh, right. Adonis DNA.
I got pythons and anyways, what has been wiggling around in your head?
Well, if you had heard me, quietly singing it around the house today.
Oh yes, and then you made me sing as well.
The theme from Sesame Street. I don't know why, but I was going to clean the tub after giving the dog a bath today, and for some reason I opened up the closet door and the theme song from Sesame Street sprung on me from out of the closet. I don't know why, but after that it was come and play.
Sunny days. Chasing the clouds away.
No, I don't know why. It was just, I don't know. But then after the strange looks I got, it just encouraged me more. So it was like, so yeah.
Well, that and your pow, 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 pow thing you were doing today. What the hell was that?
Those are my finger guns.
Okay.
I was shooting up the house here today. Hey, I have a lot of fun all by myself.
Oh, yeah.
Alone. Yeah. I amuse the hell out of me sometimes, so it's just...
Me too.
All right, well, I don't know if it's a return to form, but it's a return.
Woo-hoo!
We got one in the can. Let's hope that we keep this up and keep having fun with it. And I maybe Ross and John will come by and sit with us sometime and just shoot the shit, because I think that... That's sort of where I want to see us go with this, is just be a little bit more informal.
A lot more free form and not as regimented as the last one was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, 2 years waiting for an episode. Hey, it's kind of like the Browncoats wanted us back or something. And it's 2 years to the day.
I know.
This is the weird part.
I know. Yeah.
Our last
went on the website and looked at it, and 2 years. To the day.
To the day. And I mean, it was not planned. Today I was farting around with my computer. I was like, I wonder if the soundboard will just work natively with my computer now.
Yeah.
That I have Windows 7, and lo and behold, it does.
And each time I'm in the kitchen, I I look over to the table and I see the mic stand just sitting there, like up beside the freezer, and I'm always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Thinking, wow, you know, I should just record something.
And there's always something I want to bitch about. There's always something I want to bitch about. So, yeah, this is a good way to get it out of the system and just get it out there. So thanks for indulging. And I'm talking to you. Oh. Thanks for indulging this. You could have easily said no, and I would have been here talking to myself again.
Well, no. as you know, I've wanted to talk more.
Yeah. It gives us a chance to talk face to face for an hour every week. We tend to occupy the same space, but at a distance. And this gives us an idea. This gives us a chance to come together and share the things that has crossed our eyes in the last week. And like I said, let's keep it free form and fun.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, take care. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye.